Imagine for a second that your company just spent, I don't know, $100,000 on this massive digital rebranding campaign.
Right. Huge investment.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Your website is flawless. The copy is super sharp. And you're just sitting there feeling totally ready to dominate your market.
Oh, I know where this is going.
You probably do.
Yeah.
So a high-value prospect opens up ChatGPT and asks for the best provider in your city. The AI pauses, synthesizes its data, and then very confidently tells the prospect that your business permanently closed 3 years ago.
Wow. Ouch.
Right. And why? Because of one unresolved conflicting Yelp review from 2021 that contradicted the business hours on some forgotten local directory.
Just completely torpedoed the AI's confidence score.
Exactly. Huh. The confidence score plummets and boom, it recommends your biggest competitor instead.
You know, that exact scenario is it's playing out across the internet right now.
It really is. We're looking at this whole digital landscape shifting, right?
Mm-hmm.
From just brute force visibility to like really high precision verification.
Yeah, you can't just buy your way to the top of a results page anymore.
Right, which is why today we are taking you inside a really specific, highly strategic internal document. We actually have our hands on a June 2026 SEO plan.
A very detailed one at that.
Yeah, specifically, it's targeted at what they're calling week W20. And it is custom tailored for Orange County brands, marketers, and local businesses.
Which is super helpful context.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So our mission for you today, joining us on this deep dive, is to extract the practical 30-day playbook buried in this document so you can apply these insights to your own 2026 roadmap.
What's fascinating here is that the foundational premise of this document is that we are we're not really doing search engine optimization anymore.
Right. It's evolved.
Completely. We've officially entered the era of answer engine optimization, or AEO.
AEO. Okay.
Yeah. And that distinction is critical because when users query an AI, they aren't looking for, you know, 10 blue links to browse through anymore.
Right. They don't want to do the research themselves.
Exactly. They expect a single definitive answer. And the source material emphasizes that if you ignore how these large language models, these LLMs, evaluate your business, you're just going to bleed leads.
Just slowly lose visibility over time.
Yes. And the scary part is, it often happens without any corresponding drop in your website's traffic metrics. To even warn you, you just lose confidence, you lose security, and you don't even know why.
Wow. Okay, so knowing the stakes are that high, my immediate reflex, and you know, probably the reflex of anyone listening who's survived like a decade of Google algorithm updates, is to assume we're just missing a piece of software.
Oh, yeah. The classic, we just need a new tool mindset.
Right. Like, oh, I just need to buy the shiny new AI optimization tool and I'm fixed.
But the document explicitly calls out that exact mindset because organizations aren't struggling to surface in AI recommendations because they lack software.
Okay, then what is it?
Well, they're failing because of four very specific breakdowns in their digital footprint.
Breakdowns. Okay, lay them out for me.
So first is unclear AI source selection.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning the machine fundamentally just doesn't know which data sources about your business are authoritative.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And the second is inconsistent local signals, like that Yelp review you mentioned earlier.
Right, the 2021 Phantom review.
Exactly. Third is weak review proof. And fourth, they're producing content that completely misses the buyer's actual decision-making questions.
So they're just doing, like, generic education instead of answering real questions.
Spot on. Just generic fluff that doesn't help the AI or the buyer.
Okay, let's unpack this because I want to make sure we aren't just, you know, slapping a new 2026 coat of paint on traditional SEO.
Right. It is fundamentally different.
Because in the past, getting noticed was kind of like putting the biggest, flashiest billboard on the side of the highway, right?
Yep. Whoever shouts the loudest wins.
Exactly. But now, it seems much more like trying to get a recommendation from a really meticulous, highly skeptical librarian.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Right. Like, it's no longer just about the size of the billboard. It's about having five different highly respected people independently walk up to that librarian and verify that your store is actually good.
That is precisely it. The mechanism behind your librarian analogy is exactly how AI confidence scores function.
Really? Just looking for consensus.
Yes. An LLM operates by cross-referencing vast amounts of data to find that consensus. So if your local directory signal, say you close at 9 p.m., but an old Facebook page says 8 p.m., and then a recent Google review complains you were closed at 7 p.m., The AI doesn't just pick the most recent one.
But it doesn't know which one to trust.
Exactly. It registers a data conflict. And that conflict lowers its internal confidence in you as a reliable entity.
And an AI is programmed to, above all else, avoid giving the user a bad experience, right?
Nice.
So if it isn't confident you're even open, it definitely won't recommend you as the definitive answer.
Which creates a massive ripple effect. The document explains that these bad signals don't just confuse the AI, they create internal friction for your own organization.
Oh, because now your employees have to field calls from confused customers.
Yes, and it weakens your overall conversion rates. Because a customer instantly notices when a digital experience is fragmented. If the AI hesitates to recommend you, the customer will inevitably hesitate to buy from you.
Wow. Okay, so if the core problem is that these mixed, unverified signals are confusing the AI and lowering our confidence scores, the logical next step is figuring out how a business systematically cleans them up.
Right. How do we fix the mess?
Yeah. And the source actually provides a three-phase practical implementation roadmap.
It does.
Starting with phase one, which focuses on action. But they use a really specific phrase I want to highlight. They say the work must be narrow enough to complete and important enough to matter.
Yeah, the intent there is to prevent audit paralysis.
Oh, the endless auditing loop.
Exactly. The document insists that phase one should strictly focus on establishing entity clarity.
Entity clarity. So how the LLM defines who and what you are.
Yes. It maps you as a concept, an entity, not just a string of keywords. So to clear up that map, you have to audit your reviews, your service pages, FAQs, citations, and what the text calls source-worthy pages.
See, I can hear teams out there groaning already.
It sounds like a lot of work.
Right. Fixing entity clarity, cleaning up citations across the entire internet, auditing every single service page, that sounds like a massive, overwhelming undertaking.
I get that.
Like, here's where it gets really interesting. To use a different metaphor, it sounds like realizing your house has a little foundation problem, and the proposed solution is to just tear the entire house down.
How does a team execute this without it turning into, like, endless planning meetings?
Well, the good news is you don't remodel the whole house. You just fix the digital front porch first.
Okay, I like that.
Think of your business's digital presence like a corporate security badge. If the barcode is smudged, the scanner at the door rejects it. You don't need a whole new building.
You just need to print a clean, high-contrast barcode. Exactly. Phase one is just about finding the smudges, the contradictory business hours, the broken FAQ links, and fixing them. And the text insists that the output here must be a documented improvement, not just another meeting.
So you clean the ID badge, and you document the change.
Yes.
And that documentation naturally leads us into phase two, which is measurement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a clean ID badge today might just get smudged again next month.
Exactly right. Phase two requires the team to define exactly what will be tracked, the review cadence, and importantly, who responds if a metric drops.
So it's very structured.
Very. The document outlines specific metrics to watch, things like response time, risk reduction, lead quality. These are not vanity metrics. They indicate how confidently the AI understands your brand.
And to make sure those metrics don't just live in some forgotten spreadsheet, the document introduces phase three, which is standardizing ownership.
Right. Someone has to actually be accountable.
Exactly. So it becomes a repeatable operating habit, not just a one-off cleanup project.
And transforming it into a habit is crucial because it protects organizations from what the source calls the activity trap.
The activity trap. Okay, tell me about that.
This is a massive pitfall. It's probably the most common and costly mistake businesses make during the measurement phase.
Treating it like a checklist.
Yes. They treat this as a single task rather than an operating discipline. The document warns heavily against measuring activity instead of outcomes.
Okay, but wait, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Get for it.
If I'm a marketing manager, and I buy a shiny new AI optimization tool, and I publish 10 highly researched pages targeting Orange County search queries, isn't that a win I can show my boss? Like, look at all this work we did.
It feels like a win. But publishing a page or having a planning meeting is merely motion. It's an activity. It does not prove that the AI has actually incorporated your data or deemed you authoritative.
Ah, okay. So what proves success?
The document draws a hard line. True success, the real outcomes, are found in tracking search impressions, ranking movement, user engagement, and assisted conversions.
Assisted conversions, right.
Yeah, the AI monitors how users interact with your content. If a user lands on your page, stays there, and converts, that behavioral feedback loop signals to the AI that its recommendation was accurate. which boosts your entity clarity for the future.
Wow, so it's not just about producing the content, it's about proving to the machine that humans found the content valuable.
Exactly. And the document also suggests tracking whether your own sales and service teams are actually using the content you create.
Which makes sense. If your sales team naturally starts sending your new FAQ page to prospects, you've created a genuinely authoritative asset.
And the June plan states that no single post works in isolation. You have to treat each piece of content as part of a growing authority cluster.
An authority cluster. Okay, let's break down how an LLM actually reads that.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just like counting how many times you wrote about a certain topic, is it?
Not at all. LLMs crawl for semantic relationships.
Semantic relationships.
Yes. When you build an authority cluster, you're creating a web of internal links that connect related concepts. Some individual articles might get early visibility, but the real power comes as those articles are internally linked, refreshed, and cited by other pages.
Oh, I see.
The AI follows those pathways, understands the depth of your expertise, and begins to view your site as a comprehensive knowledge graph.
But tracking all that behavioral feedback loops, semantic knowledge graphs, assisted conversions, I mean, that requires serious internal coordination.
Huge amounts of coordination.
You can't execute this measurement strategy if the team isn't aligned on who is paying for it and who is running it.
Mm-hmm.
A marketing team cannot do this alone if IT doesn't support the infrastructure.
And the boardroom is where most of these initiatives just completely stall out.
Right. So how does the document solve that?
The W20 plan details a really unique solution, requiring a two-owner system.
Two owners?
Yes. You assign one business owner who defines the why. Why this matters to the bottom line, how it impacts leads, and one technical or marketing owner who defines the practical steps, the how.
Okay, that prevents the project from becoming too abstract, but also keeps it from getting so bogged down in technical jargon that leadership just refuses to fund it.
Exactly. It bridges that fault line between marketing and IT.
Speaking of funding, though, budgeting for this, how do you actually get leadership to sign the check?
Well, the plan suggests is a very pragmatic split. You divide the budget into two buckets, urgent fixes and maturity improvements.
Urgent fixes being like security issues, compliance, active conversion drops.
Right, the active bleeders. You fund those right now.
Right.
And maturity improvements are the longer term investments, like better reporting or building out those authority clusters.
So what does this all mean when you're actually in the room with the CFO? Because categorizing the spend isn't usually enough to get the approval.
Sure.
The text introduces this really interesting psychological lever to pull during these meetings, the cost of inaction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, framing it as a risk.
Right. It's like ignoring a check engine light or a hairline crack in your foundation. We have to ask leadership, what happens if we leave this unresolved for another quarter?
What level of customer confusion are we willing to accept?
Exactly. It frames doing nothing as an active strategic choice that carries real financial risk.
And once you secure that budget and align the team, you have to actually execute. Which brings us to the weak W20 focus, establishing high-quality backlink partnerships.
Right. And I noticed the document emphasizes that your content can't just be educational anymore.
Right.
It actually needs to provide a decision path.
Yes, because an LLM's primary goal is utility. A page that only educates is kind of a dead end. But a page that offers education, backs it up with proof, and gives a clear next step that demonstrates high utility.
And the document gets really granular about signaling this utility through internal linking, right?
Very granular. It uses specific examples suggesting natural internal links to resources from Technegian, which is the partner or framework behind this document.
Right, linking to their pages like answer engine optimization, SEO services, and content marketing.
Exactly. Connecting a localized Orange County post to broader pillar pages like SEO services helps the AI contextualize your specific content. It builds that topical authority.
It also notes the importance of linking to credible external standards, right?
Yes, like the ChatGPT search help and ChatGPT search for enterprise and ADU pages.
Why link out to them? Doesn't that send people away from your site?
Well, it validates your guidance. When you cite official ChatGPT documentation, you're essentially telling the LLM, hey, we speak your language and we align with your foundational rules. It grounds your content in reality.
Okay, so we're building authority, we have backlink partnerships,
uh-huh.
And then we hit the section on documentation that keeps the work alive.
Yes.
I have to groan on behalf of the listener here. Nobody likes writing documentation. Isn't this just going to slow us down with red tape?
It's a fair point, but the expert advice here is to keep it simple. The goal is institutional memory, not bureaucracy. A simple checklist, a short summary, and a verification log are totally enough.
So just enough so that if the tech owner leaves in 6 months, the new hire isn't starting from zero.
Exactly. And this applies to vendor accountability, too. If you're using a partner like Technegium, the document says to demand plain language reporting.
Meaning no hiding behind jargon.
Right. If an agency says they increased your entity resonance, leadership shouldn't have to decode what that means. The partner must connect technical implementation directly to business outcomes.
Which the text calls controlled progress, right?
Yes, controlled progress. It takes the pressure off having to be perfect overnight.
To make sure our listeners get some of that controlled progress, let's quickly run through the 30-day action checklist from the document.
Perfect. So, step one, confirm indexing. If the search engine crawler can't see your new page, the AI doesn't know it exists.
Makes sense. Step two, verify your SEO titles and meta descriptions are optimized.
Step three, and this is a big one, ensure your FAQ schema validates correctly.
Right. And just to define that quickly, schema markup is basically translating your human-readable FAQ into the native structured language of the machine, right?
That's exactly it. If you don't have schema markup, the AI has to spend computational energy guessing what your page is about. And AI models want to conserve energy, so they'll just recommend your competitor who did use the schema.
Fascinating. And the final item on the checklist.
Identify one follow-up asset to deepen the topic, like a case study or comparison guide. You can't just publish one page. You have to keep expanding that authority cluster.
Awesome. Well, we have covered a massive amount of ground today. We took you from understanding the hidden risks of bad local signals, the smudged digital ID badge, all the way to deploying a three-phase roadmap with clear business and technical ownership.
And we covered how to secure the budget using the cost of inaction.
All to dominate ChatGPT's business recommendations in 2026.
It's a really comprehensive tactical guide, but, you know, analyzing all this raises a broader question, one that's not explicitly in the text, but builds directly on it.
Oh, what's that?
Well, think about it. If AI search engines are transitioning from giving users a list of 10 links to giving them one single synthesized answer, what happens when you and your top competitor both have perfectly optimized signals?
Oh, wow. If everyone is technically perfect.
Right. Flawless reviews, zero data conflicts, identical entity clarity. How does the AI break the tie?
That is a great question.
As you build your 2026 roadmap, you might want to start thinking about what makes your brand not just correct to a machine, but genuinely irreplaceable in the real world.
When everyone has the perfect digital ID badge, your actual human differentiator is the only thing left. That is an incredibly powerful thought to leave on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Take that 30-day checklist and run with it.